I love the Minneapolis Institute of Art. It's one of my refuges. And I went there recently to see the show State of the Art before it closes on May 22. And I was really interested to see this show because it came about when two curators traveled around the whole U.S. and tried to take the temperature on what's happening today with art and artists, tried to find artists who maybe haven't gotten that much exposure to the wider public, but wanted to see what they're doing and what they're saying through their art. And this show included not only paintings, but mixed media, photographs, films, all kinds of different forms of art. But as I walked through the show with Dwight, I was overwhelmed by the bleak and hopeless picture that all of this art portrayed. Everything from little sculptures of pigeons wearing the crocheted outfits of now extinct birds, to pictures of solo individuals in black and white who were blurred behind broken windows, to pictures of homes that had been foreclosed in Stockton, California, to images of your little statuettes of fun parks floating away on the coast during Katrina and all the flooding that happened there. And all of this is understandable. All these horrible and heartbreaking things have happened in our country, and there is a lot going on that needs to be named and acknowledged and dealt with. But I think in this show, what I longed for, what I hoped for and didn't see, and I'm not blaming the artists. I think they were just trying to be truth tellers as far as they could. But I longed for a hopeful vision and one that people from every imaginable background, every possible race and class and country could unite around. Something without a hopeful future, it just appears that everything is falling apart. And I thought about the vision of a hopeful future that is portrayed in the book of Revelation. And in the last couple weeks in our lectionary, we've heard various readings from that book. And in Revelation, heaven is portrayed as a city, which is interesting in itself. Heaven is a city, and people have come there from every imaginable country and culture. And they are gathering together, hopefully, to worship the living God. So this visual picture that the author of Revelation paints with words is not only full of lots of color and action. Again, people from so many places, they are also united by one purpose, one vision. And this vision doesn't deny or negate who the different people are, reduce their vibrant cultures to one big melting pot, one big stew, or gloss over their struggles or what they've been through. But it offers a way for everyone to move forward toward God's vision for all creation. Further, there is a river that runs through this heavenly city, and there is a tree by this river, and it bears different fruit in different seasons. It is exceedingly fruitful. Its roots go deep. And the leaves on the tree are for the healing of the nations. Revelation contains a powerful vision of unity on a global scale. It includes healing and reconciliation in Christ. And this was first made possible when the Holy Spirit descended on Jesus' followers gathered into one place. The story that we heard a moment ago told in so many different languages by many of you. Now, Jesus' followers were gathered in Jerusalem for Pentecost, which is also a Jewish festival, one of three major Jewish festivals, also known as weeks. And it takes place 50 days after Passover. And a couple of things have happened historically. It was a time when the first sheaf of barley from the harvest was brought to Jerusalem, and there was celebration. So there were elements of a harvest festival, elements of acknowledging God's generosity in the harvest. It was also a festival that over time acknowledged and celebrated the giving of the law to the Jewish people at Sinai. So there's element of the law being given in love as a tool to guide Moses' followers, the Jewish people. Now, in the story from Acts that we read a moment ago, Jesus' followers have just been through an emotional whirlwind. They are gathered in Jerusalem for the festival I mentioned a moment ago, but I think their heads and their hearts are swirling. They gave up everything to follow Jesus, and then he died. And then he came back to them again in the flesh, but later left again to be with God more fully than ever before. One of their members betrayed their rabbi and Lord Jesus, and they've just replaced him, Judas, with Matthias, and I think they're just wondering what comes next, and probably feeling pretty overwhelmed and pretty lost. And then all of a sudden, the sound of a violent wind fills the house. Now in Minnesota, we would say, tornado, and run for shelter. But in ancient Jerusalem, this was a confusing thing. This was an overwhelming thing. And multiple tongues as of fire came down and descended on them. The scriptures tell us they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in the languages of many different nations, proclaiming the good news of Jesus and his life and of God's profound, unconditional love for all people. Now, prior to this event, Jesus' followers spoke Aramaic, a version of Hebrew, and Hebrew had been the language of God's chosen people. The events at Pentecost make clear that God's promises are not restricted to just one group of people, race, ethnicity, or country. God's promises are translated into every country, into every culture, into every language. The Spirit of life, otherwise known as the Holy Spirit, empowers the dispossessed, unifies, reconciles. It is often at work in the ordinary, in our day-to-day lives. Sometimes we look for something great and grand to happen, but often the Holy Spirit is working in the small, in the ordinary, on the margins of our society, on the margins of our lives. The Holy Spirit enables God to bring unity out of division, hope out of despair, and a way forward when there appears to be no pathway forward at all. So not long ago, we heard people, and thank you so much, reading in so many different languages, including native languages, native tongues, Shona, Lugandan, Swahili, a true Pentecost in our midst. At St. Matthew's, God has brought men, women, and children together from many different countries and cultures for worship, to get to know one another and form friendships, to learn from one another, and to learn more about God and the common future God is leading us into, as well as what it means to be human. In these ways, God is working through our faith community, I think, to bring a glimpse of heaven. Once they are friends and truly know one another, God's people can pray and dream together and receive God's vision for a hopeful future, one in which everyone will have equal opportunities, regardless of skin color, where they were born, class, where they can see one another and the earth as precious gifts from God, where every neighborhood is our neighborhood, every child is our child, every family is understood to be part of the greater human family. So let us this day, this Feast of Pentecost 2016, embrace the vision of the heavenly city that is portrayed in the book of Revelation. Make ourselves vulnerable. Face our fears of insecurity and inadequacy in the face of those who are different from us. Be present to one another. Listen to one another deeply. Listen for the Holy Spirit to speak through one another. And watch for the movement of the Holy Spirit as she leads us into a hopeful future together. Amen.